The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great Tuesday morning. It's a beautiful day in Texarkana, Texas. Well, I wanted to read to you from Psalm chapter 139. It's from the book of Psalms. People, this is just a technical thing, but it's the book of Psalms, and each individual psalm is singular. So Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Do you do that on a regular basis? Do you ask the Lord to search your heart? Do you bring your heart before the Lord and say, "Lord, show me. Show me what might be in my heart that's displeasing to you. Show me blind spots, Lord, that I don't see. And I want to walk in your ways. So, Lord, I can't confess my sin to you if I don't know where my sin is. So, Holy Spirit of God, show me." Now, I've been thinking as I scour the news and look on social media in the complaints that people have, and I have a particular guy that I look at when he posts, and he's always negative, 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 negative. The sky is falling. Everything's terrible. I just don't understand it. And I was thinking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and following. Very short little command verses. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, much has been said and being said on the news programs, the left and the right, about what's going on in politics and what's going on with the Republicans and Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Elon Musk, and then how the Democrats are responding to that. And even people like Van Jones and big, you know, he's on the left, and Bill Maher on the left, and others like that. Fetterman, the guy from Pennsylvania, they're calling out the Democrats, and they're saying, "Hey, this is not a good look for us. This is not how you win over voters, by whining, by crying, by raising your cane and yelling and getting thrown out of the Trump speech a week ago Tuesday, and all those things, and using foul language. That seems to be now the new thing to do on the left, is rant and rave and you know, use a bunch of foul language, thinking that bolsters your point. It doesn't. And now we're seeing violence coming from the left, as Elon Musk is kind of the focal point of this. You know, people used to love, back in the day, before he got into politics, they loved Donald Trump. Oprah Winfrey, Whoopi Goldberg, all these different ones that now can't stand him, they used to love him. But he got into politics and he did things they don't like, and now we talked about that yesterday, they just hate the guy. And when you hate a person and all you see is, red when it comes to that person, and all you see is evil and bad, well, then there's nothing that he can say or do that would ever change that opinion. You just think this guy's terrible. Well, Elon Musk is now in that camp because he got behind Trump in the 2024 presidential run. He went from being the media darling and loved by the left and courted by the left because he's so wealthy and so influential, and he's obviously an engineering mathematical tech genius, all the things that he has built. Jordan Peterson said that, you know, if you want to go after Elon Musk, don't attack him on his intellect, because that's a fool's errand. That guy is very, very smart. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, calls Elon Musk names, says he's not very smart. He's a billionaire con man. You just look at what the guy has done and what he's built. Obviously a brilliant guy. And then you look at what he is doing for America. He is basically running a department of about 100 financial tech guys, young guys that are very good in finding, you know, problems in the money trail. And he's going through doing a deep dive and a deep audit of all the waste in government and how the money is spent and who's getting what. And everyone in America should be applauding him for doing this. He is not getting paid to do this. I asked Grok 3, the newest AI, I said, how much money has Elon Musk lost since backing Donald Trump? And the amount that came back, now it's paper loss, it's not necessarily money that has now gone out of his pocket. Most of it is Tesla losses, but it's $134 billion that he has lost since backing Donald Trump. And the Tesla losses are considerable. The stock has gone down 45%. And, you know, the left, which loves electric vehicles, now they hate his electric vehicle because they hate him and they want to hurt him. And you ask yourself this question, well, why is Elon Musk doing what he is doing? Why take all this on? He's got enough to say grace over, you know, rather than say, oh, I don't have anything to do. Let me tackle this project. So he sat down just the other day with Larry Kudlow, and they did an interesting interview, and here were some of his comments.
So it's a call to action. You're hearing a call to action.
Yeah.
You giving up your other stuff? I mean, how are you running your other businesses?
With great difficulty. yeah, I mean.
But there's no turning back, you're saying.
I'm just here trying to make government more efficient, eliminate waste and fraud, and so far we're making good progress, actually. So our savings at this point exceed $4 billion a day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty significant.
You think you'll wind up getting to $1 trillion?
Yeah.
Of savings?
I mean, unless we're stopped, we will get to $1 trillion of savings.
And that stuff can be translated. I mean, we've been talking. We had Russell Vogt, the OMB director, on earlier, through very rescission authority, impoundment authority. But I believe you said it earlier, it's an audit that will not gather dust on shelves. This is actually going to wind up with real savings. Bend the spending baseline down.
Yeah, there've been many good audits, like I said, done by inspector generals and by government accountability office, and they just haven't been implemented. Nothing's been done.
Mm.
I think the GAO identified that there were 17 million dead people in the Social Security database several years ago. It's now 20 million, but nobody did anything about it.
Mm.
I think you can sort of look at this as a complaint minimization optimization. So basically, if the government sends money out to, whether it's wasteful or fraudulent, nobody complains if they receive money, but they do complain if they don't receive money.
Mm.
And the people that complain the loudest are the ones receiving the fraudulent money.
And you're on it.
Yeah. I mean, the goal here is let's not have America go bankrupt with waste and fraud. So that's what I'm here for, and we're making good progress.
Yes, you are. You're going to go another year?
Yeah, I think so.
Final report, middle of next year?
Well, we're just getting things done as opposed to writing a report. Like I say, reports don't mean anything. You've got to actually take action.
Yes.
Well, that was Elon Musk talking to Larry Kudlow, and he's talking about what he's doing at Doge. And it seems like every person should be behind him and excited about, hey, I appreciate the fact that this guy is donating his time at a great cost to himself and to his businesses to right the ship, so to speak, to find the waste and find the fraud. And I think everybody would agree, when you have an entity as big as the federal government, you are going to have waste. Even if everybody is on top of it, there's going to be a certain amount of waste. Now, when you're not on top of it, then there's going to be a ton of waste. And when there is an opportunity for fraud because the controls are lax, well, you're going to have it because you're dealing with people, and people can justify all sorts of actions. And so Elon Musk had said that these non-governmental organization NGOs funded by the government but outside of government control, he says that's the biggest fraud loophole hiding in plain sight. And so we need to go after these things and find out what they're doing. They're supposed to be doing all this good for humanity and good for the country and good for the world. But, they actually, not in every case, but as he's finding, in a lot of cases, they're not doing that at all. And as he clearly said, how do you know you're right over the X marks the spot? You're right over the target, because the screams and screeches and reaction that comes your way indicates that, yeah, this is where the spot is, because we wouldn't be getting all this pushback if we weren't doing something right. You know, when the doctor examines you and you have something wrong, and he starts pushing, does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? Does it hurt here? And he hits that spot and you come unglued. Yes, that hurts. Well, that's because he's on the spot. He's on the spot of the bruise or the break or the problem, whatever it might be. Well, that's what is happening, in my opinion, with Elon Musk. Now, I don't put my faith and trust in Donald Trump or J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio or Tom Holman, our ICE border czar, or Elon Musk. I put my faith and trust in God. But I applaud those guys, and we need to pray for those guys. As I said yesterday, we need to pray for those guys because, listen, it is hard to be hated. Now, you can watch these guys and you think, well, it doesn't bother them. They're just water off a duck's back. They're human beings, and it hurts to be hated. I know I have people that don't like me, not to the extent of these guys. They're not torching my car like they're doing with Elon Musk. You know, they're going after his Tesla charging stations. They're attacking his dealerships. They were burning cars, Tesla Cybertrucks in Seattle. All sorts of crimes committed against him. And for what reason? Because he's hitting that spot. And he's right over the target, and he's uncovering and unveiling all the waste and graft and corruption and fraud. And how dare you do that? You know, quit that. If you don't quit it, we're going to try and kill you. Well, that's a serious, serious problem. And we as believers, we need to pray for these guys that are right in the firing line of the enemy. And as I have said numerous times, listen, the only enemy that we have in America, in the world, is the devil. He's the adversary of our souls. People are not the enemy, but the devil uses people to get his work done. The whole world, 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he uses people, and he would like nothing more than to destroy America. America's the greatest gospel-sending nation in the world. He wants to destroy America. He wants to destroy the churches. He wants to destroy marriages and families and homes. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. We are seeing things starting to move in the right direction, and the devil doesn't like it, and his crowd doesn't like it. And so God's people need to pray. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about searching your heart to make sure your heart is right before God. And, you know, a big indicator of where your heart is what comes out of your mouth. Jesus said the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. Now, if you're constantly grumbling, griping, complaining about the world, as I said, you know, in the first segment, so many people complain. I mean, Donald Trump can do no right. Elon Musk can do no right. Everything that is done on the right is bad. Everything that's done on the left is bad. You know, we just look at it that way, and we can't find anything good to say. If that's in our heart, that reveals a big problem. The mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. Now, we had talked before, and I had a caller, Christina, I believe, that called in and said she doesn't like the term Trump derangement syndrome because it's really just people that hate Trump. Well, that's true. But that term is used a lot. But it doesn't have to just be Trump derangement syndrome. You can have all sorts of derangement syndromes when you start hating somebody or hating a group. You know, when that's based on skin color, we call that racism. And that is evil. That's evil with all capital letters. That's a horrible thing. We need to look at people as people made in the image of God. And we love people because God loves people. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And when people are hateful to you, what does the Bible say? It says, "Don't overcome evil with repay good with evil." Let me see. I'm butchering this. It's Romans chapter 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, the Bible says, you'll heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. We're to love our enemies. And the best thing you can do with your enemies, the greatest way you can love your enemies, is not to agree with them in their wrong thinking. It's to speak the truth to them in love. And that's the way you combat lies. We call this program Real Truth for Today because we have all this, my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. Hey, there's just truth. And we want to get God's truth, which is real truth. And we desperately need real truth to combat the lies of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. Well, as I stated, it's not easy being the target for all the hatred. And it is marveling to me that a person like Donald Trump can take such a beating in the public sphere, in the public sector, in social media, in legacy media, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, they're just relentless. Every day it's negative, 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 negative about Trump. Trump's terrible. Trump's awful. And now Elon Musk, terrible, awful. And here is a quote. I read this a couple of weeks ago, but it bears repeating. The famous quote from Theodore Roosevelt. He says, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error or shortcoming, but who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the very best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the very worst, if he fails, at least he fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat. We have a lot of these people that just shoot arrows at those trying to do a good deed, as Elon Musk is trying to do, at a great cost to him personally, financially, professionally. He didn't need this. You know, Trump has said that before. Elon doesn't need this. You know, he's working to bring back the astronauts stranded. That's a big endeavor. And this is sad but true. There are many people, I'm not going to say everybody, but there are many people in our country who hate what's going on so much that they would love to see Elon Musk fail in this endeavor. They'd love to see the rocket ship blow up, and even if those people died, they'd say, oh, well, that's sad. But they would secretly love that, because then they could have more ammo to fire against Elon Musk. Now, could they bring back astronauts from space? Not in a zillion years. They don't know how to do that. Elon Musk and his team, they know how to do it. Can AOC know how to build a rocket to bring back astronauts? Of course not. But yet she can hurl abuse at Elon Musk and say he's a billionaire con man. Not very smart at that. Well, the guy is brilliant. Now, spiritually speaking, he's in the dark. As far as I can tell, he's never put his faith and trust in Jesus. He desperately needs to, just as all people need to. And, you know, we talk a lot about on American Family Radio, we talk a lot about political things. People are caught up in that. And so we speak what is on the minds of people, and we give the biblical perspective of these things. But, you know, when all is said and done, you know, presidents come and go. Leaders, influencers, they come and go. Pastors come and go. But the word of the Lord stands forever. And, you know, the Lord, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God, the scripture says about the Lord. And the Lord is, he sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. And it's not going to matter. As noble as the cause is that Elon Musk is doing to try and save America, which I think is very, very important, you know, what Nehemiah did in rebuilding a wall, that doesn't sound very spiritual, but it was extremely important, because you couldn't have a city unless you had a wall. You know, you can't really have much of a house if you don't have any doors on it. And so what he did may not seem super spiritual. He's not rebuilding the temple, he's rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, but it was important. But even as important as what Elon Musk is doing, what Donald Trump is doing from the standpoint of righting the ship and making America solvent, financially solvent again, and vibrant again, and free speech and law and order, all those things that everyone ought to say, yes, that's the country we want. Ultimately, none of that matters in the big scheme of things, because if you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord, no matter how good you may have had it in this life, no matter how many billions of dollars you could possibly make, as Elon Musk has made, you know, richest man by far with a net worth of $300+ billion, and Donald Trump, who has just a paltry net worth of $8 billion, it doesn't matter. Because all that goes away, and then you leave behind all that you have when you die. You leave behind all that you have, and you take with you all that you are, and you stand before God. And if you're not found in Christ, a person who received Jesus as Savior and Lord, who repented of sin and trusted Jesus. That's how you get in Christ. Everybody's born in Adam. In Adam all die, in Christ are all made alive. If you stand before the Lord in Adam, well, you're going to die and experience not only physical death, but spiritual death, which is death forever. That's what the lake of fire is called, the second death. And the Lord doesn't want that. Jesus died on the cross for every person. He rose again from the dead. He offers salvation to anyone. The Spirit and the bride say, come and take the water of life without cost and receive Jesus and receive eternal life. So all the things that we talk about that are current events that are important, when you put them in perspective of eternity, they're not that important. We need to make sure eternity is right. And listen, on a day-to-day basis, we need to remember, rejoice always, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you, to be a thankful, grateful person. Now, we have a lot of Christians, a lot of people, but even Christians who aren't very grateful, who aren't very thankful, who've lost the joy. And we see that in the Old Testament with God's Old Testament people who came out of Egypt, who experienced all the miracles, the plagues, the 10 plagues, and then came out of Egypt and experienced the greatest Old Testament miracle, which was the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, that was just mind-blowing. When they finally went into the promised land in the book of Joshua, Rahab the harlot said, we heard about what your God did when he destroyed the Egyptians and all the things and the parting of the sea. I mean, that was monumental. And she said, we wondered where you guys were, you know, because they wandered around the wilderness 40 years because of their unbelief. Well, here is the Israelite who came out of Egypt, the Jew who saw all these wonderful things and is experiencing a miracle every single day by eating manna. Men did eat the bread of angels, the Bible said. And God rained it down on them every day. They would get up in the morning and it was like dew on the ground. And they would pick it up. And manna was sweet to the taste. It was like wafers filled with honey. And they could cook with it, and it provided for their needs. If God didn't give them anything in the wilderness, they all would have died. You know, there are times they didn't have water to drink, and God brought water from the rock in a miraculous way. Well, it seems like those things would have, stuck with you. Just like the parting of the Red Sea, that would stick with you. But it didn't. In the same chapter, God parts the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. In Exodus chapter 15, most of the chapter is them singing and dancing. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. And they sing and they dance and they celebrate. Look what God did for us. And in the same chapter, 3 days later, there's no water and they grumble and gripe and complain. Now, that's a recurring theme in the book of Exodus and Numbers, or the two books that really talk about the wilderness wanderings. And in Numbers chapter 21, it says, the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. This miserable food was the manna. They loathed it, because they'd been eating it for years and years and years and years and years. And it was good, you know, for the first few years, but now it's year 20 and we're still eating manna. Manna for lunch, manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for dinner. I mean, that's just all they had, manna, manna, manna. And so they grumbled at Moses and at the Lord. And they said, we loathe this miserable food. Now, they weren't rejoicing always. They weren't praying without ceasing. They weren't giving thanks. And we need to make sure in our hearts that we're not grumbling, griping, and complaining about situations in life that we don't like. We got to make sure that we don't get so entwined with politics and this politician we don't like, or this policy we don't like, or this situation happening that we don't like, that it steals away our joy, that we become a complainer, we become a griper and a grumbler. Hey, we rejoice in the Lord. He's over it all. And we pray. And so if there are situations in your life that you don't like, well, pray about those situations. Ask the Lord to change it. Say, Lord, I know that this doesn't match up with your word, whatever this might be. And God, I know this is not what you want. So, Lord, bring about a change. As we said yesterday, God is the God of breakthroughs. Baal Perazim, as David named a particular place where he won a victory over the Philistines. As he prayed, God gave him the victory, and he named that place Baal Perazim, which means master of breakthroughs. The Lord has broken through my enemies like water, as water would break through a dam. And God is the God of breakthroughs, so we rejoice in him. Rejoice in the Lord always, as Paul said in Philippians. And again, I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind think on these things. And Paul ends that by saying, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Hey, what's in your heart today? We've been talking about a heart check and what we see in our world. So many people so upset and grumbling, griping, complaining. Everything is terrible, 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 and attacking the people that are trying to make a difference. We need to make sure that our hearts are right with God, and that we're praying, and that we're giving thanks in all things, and we're letting God do a work in us. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, I would love to hear it and what you have going on in your life and how the Lord is working may bless somebody else. So give me a call. As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, Preborn is putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue all of them. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all those precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire preborn week for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. So please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about searching our hearts to make sure our hearts are right with God, to make sure there's no sin festering in the corner somewhere in the shadows. You pull everything out of the darkness into the light. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, as we do this deep work where we honestly inspect ourselves before the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to shine a light on any part of us that is in rebellion toward God. And as we do an inventory of what is coming out of our mouths, what are we thinking on, and are we just constantly negative, 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 negative? Is the glass always, as my wife likes to say, half full and with a crack in it? Or are you seeing the positives? Are you seeing life from God's perspective? That is wisdom, seeing life from God's perspective, knowing that He's over it all, and knowing we really only have one job, and the one job is to please God, to be soft in the Lord's hands, and to say with Jesus, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Have your way in me. I want to please you. As Enoch earned that testimony, we learn in Hebrews chapter 11, he's in the hall of faith. Before his being taken up, he obtained this testimony that he pleased God. Because if you live your life and you don't please God, I don't care what else you do, your life is a failure. But if you live your life to please God, no matter how many people you may displease in the process, if you please the one who created you, your life is a success. And when you die, you'll hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. And we have Mark on the line from Arkansas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, how you doing?
Oh, doing well, Mark.
On that, you see the joy in Trump and Elon and Marco Rubio and the rest of the cabinet there, and you can see that their hearts in what they're doing. What they're doing is the right and honest thing. I mean, stopping fraud and abuse and waste. Go to Proverbs, and it'll discuss that concept over and over again. So you see the comparison of the two sides. One side working for that which is right, with a heart of joy, doing what they're doing, and the other side, which is grumbling all the time about what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's about all I have to say on that, yes.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. That is very telling. And you do have one side that that's all they have. They just yell and scream and rant and rave. And they don't seem to have, from my perspective, don't have any solutions to any of the issues. And they're on the losing side of so many issues. Biological males playing in female sports. They're all for that. And the country, I think it's 79-80% of the country says, we don't want that. You're destroying women's sports. So they speak out of one side of their mouth, oh, we're for all women. And then at the next, at the other side of their mouth, they're saying, well, but we want deceived males who think they're females and believe a lie that they're females. We want them to dominate women's sports and put women and girls at risk. And there's just... The party of joy sure isn't expressing that very well. You know, as Kamala Harris had, that was her, kind of her plank as she ran. We're the party of joy, and we have all this joy. Well, obviously they didn't, and it's written all over their faces today. So I appreciate that, Mark. Thanks for calling in. We have Paul on the line from Texas. Paul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes. I just had a very brief comment and then a suggestion. The comment is, I actually like the term Trump derangement syndrome because it really discerns, it's not for people who hate Trump. Everybody hates something that they think is bad. It's just for people that it has distorted their thinking and behavior to the point of severe irrationality. And of course, the best symbol we have is that video meme when Trump was first elected of the young woman with her ski cap who's wailing, you know, because Trump got elected. And even as Christians, we get the same junk. You know, it's like we say, well, no, I don't think two men is a marriage. Oh, you're a homophobe. Yeah, well, we're used to it. So if she complains about Trump, you know, she gets accused of that. It's not what she has. But one thing, as believers in Christ, we have a very good advantage for anything that comes in life is the minute you hear something you don't like or something that's wrong, pray. Doesn't cost you anything but time. You take it to the Lord. When I see celebrity in trouble or something wrong, one of the first things I do is make a short prayer for God to intervene or lift somebody up. And we've got that, and that's something we should exercise. And then from a worldly point of view, if you see something you really don't like, well then, you know, get on your phone or get on the internet and send $5 or $10 to somebody who's on the front lines who's fighting it. So positive action is what can give you a lot of satisfaction in pushing against the evil of this world.
Yeah, good. That's a good word, Paul. We need to condition ourselves that our first response to anything that happens in life is to pray. So that's why it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Anytime something comes in or you see an event or this is happening or that happening, we need to pray. We need to take that to the Lord. And because I think it was, I'm trying to remember who said this, famous quote, you can do more after you pray, but you can't do more. You can do more than pray after you pray, but you can't do more than pray before you pray. Pray needs to always be the first stop on the road to help. We cry out to God. And so I appreciate that. And then put action to it. And we do need to support those guys on the front lines, those guys that are getting blistered in the media and by the haters on the left, and you know, it's not all that, you know, all the good guys are on the right, all the bad guys are on the left. It's not just that cut and dried, but you do tend to see, as Elon Musk has pointed out, or and others, when the left gets upset, that's when you tend to see violence, violent protests, burning things, destroying property, going after people. And I really don't see that. You can say January 6th, and people use that as an example. That had a lot of layers to it. Obviously wrong. Anybody that did anything on January 6th that was associated with the Capitol, that would have been wrong. But you just don't see that on the right. When Joe Biden was elected president, you know, lots of questions about all the, you know, the millions, 81 million votes or whatever he got, more than anybody in history. That didn't seem plausible, given the fact that he didn't even campaign, given the fact that it's very obvious he was diminished from what he once was in terms of speaking and that kind of thing. But even at that, Christians, we didn't take to the streets and burn stuff down. Those on the right didn't do that. We want to talk about issues. We want to talk about policies. We want to talk about things that make situations better, not things that make situations worse. And we go to the Lord and pray. And we don't let that stuff destroy our lives. We don't let that just come in like a flood and just wash out anything that the Lord wants to do, anything good that the Lord wants to do. We believe in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And as one, and more than one, many people have said, it turned out to be a good thing that Trump didn't get reelected in 2020, because he's gone through a lot through those years he wasn't in office. Things have been exposed through those years he wasn't in office. And even the assassination attempt, as God clearly spared his life, that has been used for good for our country. And I really believe that the good that it has done is giving us another opportunity for the church to stir the hearts and minds of people, not politically, spiritually, to turn our hearts back to Jesus while there's still time. And this is a reprieve for the church. And if we don't take advantage of it, that was really the message at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention by so many different guys. If we don't take advantage of this opportunity and the church doesn't stand up to be the church, to be salt and light, to speak the truth in love, then that's going to go away. And as Bill Federer said, hey, as quickly as things moved to the right with Trump's presidency and all of a sudden there are only two genders and, you know, we're not going to have males playing female sports and we're not going to have the woke agenda infiltrating all our military, as quickly as that shifted to the right, that can go to the left too. And so we need to be vigilant, we need to be praying, and we need to be faithful to shine and share. So I appreciate the call, Paul. We have Chris on the line from Ohio. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I would just like to say, you know, we have to remember this world is not our home. We're just passing through. We're pilgrims. And really, the world doesn't belong to us. It still belongs to the devil. The devil hasn't been destroyed. He's still running around making havoc. Because everybody's not going to heaven. Believe in Jesus, our God. And so that's what we have going on. We have a great president in office right now, and nobody wants to listen to him or do anything, but he's doing everything he said he was going to do. And thank God for people who do care about this country and care about everything. You know, I lost a daughter to the left. I lost a daughter to the world. I raised her as a Christian. She was a good girl growing up, and then she got started reading a lot of stuff on the internet. And the next thing you know, she's turned the other way. And now she doesn't even talk to us. But our door is still open for her. We still love her. And one day maybe she'll turn around and the Lord will change her heart. And then maybe not. Because there's so many people out there that are hurting, but they don't know which way to go. But thank God in America there's a church on every corner. And the world doesn't belong to us. Sports really doesn't belong to us. We're pilgrims. What do you call it? Like I said, sports doesn't belong to us. School system doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the world. And we try to keep it as Christian as long as we can.
Well, that's a good point, Chris. So I like what my friend Robert Jeffress said. You know, we're in the Christian life, as it relates to our country, we're holding up the dam. We know the dam is going to crater at some point. Because God's told us in His Word what's going to happen in the future. And so we're just trying to keep the dam and the water from flooding out the village below as long as we can. But we know that eventually those things are going to, that's going to take place. And so we just have more and more time is our prayer to reach people for Christ. And so we have to think about it like that. It's like, hey, I'm on this earth for one main reason, as we said, to please the Lord. But how do we please the Lord? By doing His will and by being His witnesses, by shining for Christ how we live, and by sharing, opening our mouths and telling people about Jesus who is mighty to save. And we bring as many people as possible to the Lord that we can, that our life is making an impact, the biggest impact it can make. And then we just leave it to the Lord, because we know that, hey, you talk about climate change. Read in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord is going to destroy this world with fire, and He's going to make a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And so this world is not my home, and this world is passing away, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So thanks, brother, for that. And we have time for one more call. Paula from Oklahoma. Paula, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor. I had just a couple of comments. The Bernie Sanders rally a couple of days ago, they had a trans singer.
Yeah.
And the thing that person, I don't even know if it was a man or a woman, to be honest. It was a man? Okay.
I think so.
It was just totally awful. I just can't believe that we have so-called Christians, you know, that support the Democrats. And I know that man that just spoke said there's a church on every corner. And sometimes it seems like maybe that is not good, because there's a church on every corner, because half of the churches are not biblical.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, I talked to a friend of mine just yesterday, Paula, and he said, you know, he was just lamenting the fact that doesn't seem like we have enough pastors standing up and speaking to the culture, calling out sin, calling people to repentance. We need more people to do that. And, you know, I was listening to Charlie Kirk. He had Riley Gaines on a podcast just recently, and he said, you know, hey, we're talking about Jesus being the Savior. What does he save us from? Well, he saves us from sin and the penalty of sin, which is separation from God forever and ever and ever. But if you don't ever talk about sin and your message is all just, you know, cotton candy and bubble gum and the blessings of God, and we don't talk about repentance and getting right with God, we're missing the boat and we're not being faithful to be the Lord's herald. So I appreciate the call, Paula. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out today, do your job, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.